And that was Praise the Almighty, My Soul Adore Him. It's a hymn we're going to be taking a look at on this Rumination Tuesday, September the 4th, in the year of our Lord 2018. Can you believe that we're already into September, Pastor Mark Smith?
I cannot believe it. I'll tell you, where did the summer go? I hate to see summer go. Goodness sake.
Well, it's still on for 17 more days.
Yeah, that's true, but, you know, it's just not quite the same.
No. In fact, I was listening to, I don't know, a talk show, and they were making the point when you were a young kid, time went by really slow.
Oh, yeah.
But as you get older, what happened to the week?
Oh, I know. It just flies.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. Is it... Is it just our imagination, or is there really something to that?
No. Because you have young people today who are saying things are going slow.
Yeah.
It can't be a change in the time. But I think it's because, I don't know about you, but I'm much more busy than I was when I was a kid. Well, I don't have enough time.
As I always tell my field workers, you know, my SEM students.
I just,
hey, you get in the parish, especially as you're raising a family, time just turn around and 20 years are gone.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
No, it really
is.
Where
does the time go?
Yeah. We're taking a look, praise the Lord. It's done by Johann D. Hernschmidt and first appeared in 1714, and it's based largely on Psalm 146. Now, we have five stanzas. Originally, it was eight stanzas. But it's really been a hymn that a lot of congregations sing.
Yeah, we sing it. I like this hymn. We sing it a lot.
You do?
Yes. Oh, yes.
So you're singing it for this Sunday?
Oh, most definitely. Sure.
Now, I am preaching right after this, so we're going to have to leave a little early again, and I'll let you hear more of the hymn here. But until then, we need to go over the hymn. I've got a sermon I'm really looking forward to doing.
Oh, yeah. I know. What, today, you mean?
At
the chapel?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the question you're going to give them?
Oh, a very simple one.
with you, nothing simple, Tom.
Oh, really? All right. Is there anyone who believes that an agnostic will go to heaven? All right. Praise the Almighty, my soul adore him. Would you read the first stanza?
Praise the Almighty, my soul adore him. Yes, I will laud him until death. With songs and anthems I come before him as long as he allows me breath. From him my life and all things came. Bless, O my soul, his holy name. Alleluia, alleluia.
Now, the word the children may not understand is in the second line, yes, I will laud him. What does laud mean?
Praise, laud.
Yes. It's another word for, and in fact, it explains right after it how that laud takes place.
Right, with songs and anthems.
Yes. I come before him.
Yeah, laud, that's comes from the Latin, you know, laudamus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we praise.
Yes. As... Yeah, you remember one word, eh?
Yes.
You won't believe it.
A few more.
You know what I'm doing when I drive around the country going to congregations? I'm learning Spanish.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Español.
Yep. And yesterday we had, at the church I preached at, a visitor, two of them, husband and wife. And I asked the wife, what do you do? And she says, I'm a school teacher and I teach Spanish. And I looked at her and I say, ¿Entiende Español? And I spoke about 20 words in Spanish. And after I was done, she corrected two of them.
You know, Spanish was the only subject I ever failed.
Really?
In fifth grade, yes.
Wow.
I failed it. I just didn't understand the importance of language at that early age.
Well, they teach it wrong also.
That could be.
No, in fact, I'm using what's called Pimsleur, and this guy is tremendous. You put a CD in your car, and each one is half an hour, and you can get about 60 of them. And what he does, he says a word, and you repeat it immediately. And then he says it again, you repeat it. And then he'll go about 10 minutes, and he'll say, what? How do you say the word understand? Entiende? And it's just amazing. I've got the first hour down pat. And so I'm starting into the second hour and stuff. That was really kind of interesting. What I discovered, because in my doctorate, I had to do five languages.
Yes,
right. Hebrew, Greek. I did also French,
Latin,
German, and Latin.
Right.
And I suddenly discovered that the Spanish is really close to Latin.
Yeah.
If you learn Latin, you've got the European languages.
Yeah.
Grammatical
sure
and stuff. It was kind of interesting there. So we have in the hymnal some Spanish hymns.
Right. That's right.
Do
you use them?
I've not been in the congregation where we had Hispanics.
I have yet to use them yet. It's not, you know, judgment on them.
But I'm intending, probably around Christmas, once I know enough Spanish, to do a program, part of it in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
We'll look at one of these hymns, so you better start brushing up. Okay. Stanza 2.
Trust not in rulers. They are but mortal. Earthborn they are and soon decay. Vain are their counsels at life's last portal, when the dark grave engulfs its prey. Since mortals can no help afford, place all your trust in Christ our Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
Now, some people may not understand this, because it says don't trust in mortals, but pastors are mortals. So how do you get around that if you're not supposed to trust your pastor? Sure. I believe that the first line is what he's talking about.
Right.
Trust not in
rulers.
Rulers. Yes. And here you have a doctrine of the two kingdoms. Can you explain that?
Well, we're in the church, we're in the kingdom of the right hand.
Right.
God's kingdom of grace.
Yes.
In the kingdom of the left hand, that's the king, that's the kingdom where he's completely over that domain too. But that deals with
temporal matters.
Yes, temporal matters.
Not spiritual.
Right.
And so this line is good. Vain are their counsels at life's last portal. I've listened to some of these politicians talking about.
They can't help you.
They cannot. They don't have it right. Even
And they sometimes they think they have it right themselves, and they don't. Sometimes their faith is basically works righteousness.
It always is.
Yeah.
It always.
Not always. You have some devoted Christians among them. Not ones that I've heard.
But
you don't hear
witnessing.
Them much.
Yeah. That's
you don't
my
hear
point.
It verbalized much.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. And a lot of times I was listening to a talk show host who was Roman Catholic, and he had everything messed up. In fact, he wrote a book and said Jesus couldn't say the words from the cross because he was too weak to speak.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that kind of nonsense.
Yeah, there's a lot of nonsense.
So trust not in mortal rulers. They have their task, and that is to lead a country, keep it out of war or win wars, and keep order. But you don't want to go to them and say, what kind of attitude should I have on my deathbed?
Exactly.
No, no way. I'll do three. Blessed, blessed are they forever, whose help is from the Lord Most High, whom from salvation can nothing sever, and who in hope to Christ draw nigh. To all who trust in him our Lord will aid and counsel now afford. And then the Alleluias. Well, here's my question. It says, whom from salvation can nothing sever? So are we Calvinists? Once saved, always saved?
No, we don't believe in once saved, always saved.
But how do you explain that?
Jesus himself says, no one shall... My sheep hear my voice, and they I know them, and they follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand.
Right. Now, that's really important.
Now, we can fall away.
But look how we fall away from that line. From salvation can nothing
sever.
Okay, nothing is something outside of yourself.
Right.
You can sever it
by
unbelief.
That's right.
But that's not something outside of yourself. Now, sometimes you can go through some really tough times and not believe that God is there to help you.
Yeah, but he is. He's always there.
Yeah, he is always there to help you. So that's really going to be kind of interesting to see what we come up with there. The fact of the matter is that nothing can sever you outside of yourself. No, the devil doesn't have power. which is
he can only go so far.
That's right. That's right.
He can only go so far, and not one.
Minute. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, God says, "And I will provide
an escape."
Yep, a way of escape. Yes. So if we fall into temptation, that's by our choice.
Right.
Yes. In sermon on Sunday, I was talking about this whole thing. I had been in a conversation with a lady who said, you know, homosexuals are born that way, and therefore, if God had them born that way, we shouldn't accuse them of anything. So I said to her, so you're saying that when people are born a certain way, that they cannot be criticized for their behavior, correct?
Yeah.
She said, yes, that's what I'm saying. I said, oh, so you don't have any trouble with pedophiles? And she stopped for a second. She said, well, that's different. I said, what do you mean that's different? That's how they're born.
That's right.
What are you talking about? We call it original sin. But even with original sin, you still must make a choice to act on it. That's what God is against. Whether all of us are born with some kind of, and different kinds of original sin. For some reason, some people, I have never understood this, like to take drugs to get on high.
I can't understand that.
I do not understand
that. Boy, you know, I don't need that. I'm hooked on chocolate as it is, man. I can't do without chocolate. Who needs drugs?
Well, I often have said, if I like beer the way I like diet root beer, I'd be an alcoholic.
Me too.
There's no doubt about it. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, man, I don't need those drugs, man. Oh.
No. Drugs.
Stay away. Run for your life.
Yeah. But it shows how desperate people are in trying to find a way of escape.
Right.
Because that's all that drugs are a way of escape. And then the more you get into it, the worse you get.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's quite a... What's that big scandal they're having with opioids?
Oh, opioids, right.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, those were medications that people got hooked on.
Consumer Reports goes through 5 or 6 drugs, includes opioids in them, and shows how other drugs can really do what opioids do without the negative effects. It was a pretty good article.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... When you're talking to your doctor, you know, he should be aware of that. But a lot of them aren't because that was a normal thing to prescribe for people who have those kinds of diseases or the pain after a surgery or something like that. But, boy, can you get hooked on that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know my favorite TV show now is that all the detective stories and
Law and Order.
No, I don't watch Law and Order anymore.
Okay, what do you watch?
Because they're politically correct.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see.
And I can't stand that.
Yeah.
So, no, these were true detective stories. And yesterday, you know, a lot of people say women hardly commit crimes. Well, they had 2 hours in a row with 6 women who were murdering their caretakers and all kinds of stuff to get money. And it was really interesting. All true stories. So, even women have original sin.
Oh, yes.
But boy, oh boy. Yeah, and it is so easy to be manipulative.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and some people are masters at it, let me tell you.
Well, I'm wondering if I am, because congregations I go to say they like me. And that's why I never
take... I think you've got some manipulative skill there.
Yeah, I never take my wife with me, because she would tell the truth. All right. Stanza 4.
Penitent sinners, for mercy crying, pardon and peace from him obtain. Ever the wants of the poor supplying, their faithful God he will remain. He helps his children in distress, the widows and the fatherless. Alleluia, alleluia.
Yeah, that's really that last line, the widows and the fatherless. I had at least 20% of my congregation without fathers.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's...
Women with children, and for one reason or another, they weren't living together or whatever. And yet women, the ones in this congregation, were bringing their kids to VBS, Sunday school. We also provided funds for parochial school and this sort of thing.
You know, I've heard it say, it's an established fact that, you know, it's helpful, of course, if the mother is Christian and brings yes. her kids to church. But it's much more yes. helpful if the father,
yes.
they say that really determines
right.
whether the kids will stay with the church.
Yeah,
is if the father is there too.
Yeah.
Or even just the father. For some reason, the father seems to carry more weight.
Of the many, many congregations I visited, I remember one that during the Sunday school hour, they had Bible class, but there also was a donut shop not far away, and parents would drop their kids off at Sunday school and go over to the donut shop, then come back for the service.
Yes.
And that kind of sent a signal
yes.
in the congregation about how important Bible class was and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's kind of important. I keep telling people, don't come to church to be saved. You're already saved.
Right.
Through baptism. You come to church because you are facing all kinds of devious schemes by the devil, and you need
the
to
whole
know.
Armor of God.
That's right. That's right. And unless you know the armor of God, the word of God, etc., you're not going to be comforted.
That's right.
Yeah, you're simply not. And boy, it can lead to one problem after another. Yeah, in fact, every time you have false doctrine, it always leads to more false doctrine. Like, for instance, the Baptist Church doesn't baptize babies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have to figure a reason, and they decide, oh, that's because the way you're saved is by decision theology. Uh-huh. Well, there's another false doctrine.
Yeah, there you go.
And then, oh.
Or age of accountability.
Yeah, they invent that. Nowhere
that's
in the Bible.
That's not in the Bible.
No, not at all. And what really surprises me, here you have these Baptist parents who say, God will not punish my child till the age of accountability, but they're punishing their own children at 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, you know, when they disobey.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And, in fact, I had a...
And there's so much comfort. I always tell my people that there is so much comfort connected with infant baptism.
There really is,
oh,
but...
Oh, man. What parent would not want that?
People look to their church as more divine than the Bible. I'm laughing at all the media who think that the Roman Catholic Church is in trouble right now because of all the priest stuff. No, they're not. In fact, there was an excellent letter to the editor in the Post-Dispatch, which I usually think are not excellent.
Oh.
But the person put the blame precisely where it should be put.
Uh-huh.
And where was that blame to be put?
I can imagine it's with the papacy.
No.
Or with the parish priest?
No.
Tell us. Tell us, oh great one.
Oh boy, here we go again. Every time
come
you
on.
Say that,
come
you're
going
to say, oh, that's right, you are right. Walther wrote it. The sheep judge
their shepherd.
The article is about how it's the laity who are at fault. They're doing nothing about it. They say, well, look, I'm still going to go to that church because I was brought up there, and we're just against bad priests. We're not against the doctrine and that kind of stuff. And so they stay in a false doctrine church.
Was that the message of that letter?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Blame the laity.
Blame the laity.
Yes. Which Jeremiah blames.
Yeah.
When you have false teachers, God gives a bigger punishment to the laity than he does to the false prophets.
The sheep have to judge their shepherds. That is
that's
true.
Right. And they do none of that there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some are going to say, well, I'm going to stop giving or something. And some have left the church. But no. When you have a hierarchical church, you're not going to move that. They want the Pope to resign. That's the biggest joke I ever heard. He'll never resign. Stanza 5.
Praise all you people the name so holy of him who does such wondrous things. All that has being to praise him solely. With happy heart its amen sings. Children of God with angel host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Notice it doesn't say the name so holy of him who did such wondrous things, but who does
yes.
such wondrous
still does.
Things. Yes. And see, that's what a sermon is to do, is to point out the wonderful things that God is still doing. And that's really kind of important. So, Praise the Almighty by Johann Herrn Schmidt. died in 1723. And I think it's been in almost each of our hymnals we've had.
Yes, it was in the Lutheran hymnal, I know.
And, yeah, right.
And Lutheran worship, and now the Lutheran Book of Worship.
Now, it's got five verses. Are you going to do it at communion time?
Oh, yeah, we'll do that. Sure, we'll do it.
Yeah.
We'll probably do it to begin.
Oh, really?
Begin with that, yes.
Well, that's nice. Five verses, yes. Tomorrow is going to be something special that we've never done. And it wasn't my fault. Well, it wasn't my creation.
It's never your fault, Tom.
Yes. Well, I wish it had been. A congregation is having a 9:30 Bible study every Wednesday, but they had no pastor. So what they've decided is they're going to tune into Long Gospel on the computer with speakers and listen to me for a half hour, and then discuss what I have to say for the last half hour.
Yeah, take pot shots at what you just said.
Yeah. Well, some people are already listening. They did it last week, and he said they had a big crowd, and they were really happy with it. And so I told them, when you do it tomorrow, see if they have any items that they want me to talk about. Because it is Insight Wednesday, and I change it every week.
You don't know what you'll talk about tomorrow.
Yeah, I do tomorrow, because we weren't here yesterday.
Right.
So I'm doing one of the Bible lessons. But
which one?
Well, Jesus does wonderful miracles. Then someone says to the people, don't say what he did.
Oh, yes, right. Yeah, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody.
Who's the one who says that?
Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, he says that himself. Don't tell anyone.
How would you like to have that on the door of your church? Don't tell anyone what Jesus did. And so we're going to explain that. I got to get going because I got a
preach chapel.
So while we're gone, we're going to give you the opportunity, though, to listen to the hymn. God bless. Till tomorrow.